into new mitzvah, but on the other hand, I just want to finish up some of the inyanim on Din Hanashim. And in particular, I want to go over in a bit more detail the shaila of Ben Pakua. Again, Ben Pakua is the question when you shecht an animal and the animal is pregnant and it contains a vilat. So the halacha is that the shechita of the mother matirs the vlad. Even though the vlad isn't shechted, so I can take the vlad out and I can kill it with a hammer, with a bullet, because it is nitar b'shechita so'en. And the Gemara in Chulin says that's based on a gzeiras hakasa, because since the Torah says b'behema teichelu, so it could have said behema teichelu, eat an animal. Bibehema literally means in the animal. So we darshan anything that is in the animal, meaning even an animal within an animal, is going to be nitar b'shechita se'en. Now the svara is, because the Torah considers the vlad to be a chelek of the mother, so the same way if I shecht, an animal, I can eat, any part of the animal. I can eat the leg, right? So I can eat the ubur as well, because it's nitar b'shechita se'en. Now, if you remember, I'm going to mention a few other shitas that the Minchas Chinuch brings. I had mentioned the shita of the Rambam, and the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says that if you shecht a vlad, and the vlad is already, now the Rambam says, in its ninth month, whatever that means in the month in which it would be ready to be born, the last month of the mother's pregnancy, and it's alive, meaning essentially it's viable, it's capable of being born. So the Rambam says, even though it's nitar b'shechita sa'ein, that's only the meat that is nitar b'shechita sa'ein, but the chelev and the gid, you would not be allowed to eat. Now, here is the conceptual problem, right? The Rambam we need to understand this, because the Rambam says the following. If I shech the animal and the vlad is less than 9 months, meaning to say it's, again, 9 months is a bit of a problem because it's not clear that, but whatever it is, in other words, it's not within the month that it could be born. So the Rambam says, not only do we matir the meat, but we also matir the chelev. He doesn't mention git. So if it's a ben ches, we matir even the chelev. If it's a ben tes, we matir the basor, but we don't matir the chelev. Let's put aside gid for a moment. Now, mimanafshach, conceptually, this is a difficult distinction to understand. Because l'chaira, what's the nafgamina between a ben tes and a ben ches? So you might say, since a ben tes is ready to be born, it's fully developed and ready to be born, it's no longer considered part of the mother. But if you say that svara, that if it's no longer part of the mother, then none of it should be mutter. The meat shouldn't be mutter either. Elamai, it's considered part of the mother, even though it's fully formed, then let it be permitted on the chalif. If you're maturing chalif of ben ches. Now, if you're going to give me a svara, which is a good svara, well, how can you matur chalif? The Torah simply says that the shechita is kilu you shechted the vlad, but the chelev is usher, even if you shecht, good. But if that's true, the same thing you do for a ben ches. So mimanafshach, what is the basis to say that if the animal is a ben ches, meaning it's not in its final month, it's not fully developed, I'm allowed to eat both the meat and the chelev, but if it's a ben tes, I can eat the meat, but I can't eat the chalif, right? What's the swara to say that? Yeah.
The main issue was between whether the animal could survive on its own or not. And then the eight now is basically the way to not do that, but that was essential. That was the swara?
The difference between a ben tes. That's right. That ben tes versus ben ches is ben tes, since it is capable, you might think, since it's capable of surviving. Right, so based on this, the Mishchas Chinuch doesn't say it beferish, but it gives you a lot of Mara Makomos, the different Tosfos there. And it turns out, based on this, there is a good lumdus to understand this. And that is, there are actually two different reasons why Chelev might be Mutra of a Vlad. One reason is, it might be Nitra B'Shchita. But the other reason is, Taisa says in Chulin, since the Torah only asers chelev of shor, kefes, va'ez. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat the chelev of a shor. A shor is an ox, which really means a shor. But you know, ox is actually, the truth is, you know, if you look up the term ox in a dictionary, you would see that ox has nothing to do with the shor. An ox is a castrated bull. A shor does not mean a castrated bull. So, but shor is a generic term for the male or the female of the cattle species. So a par is a male, is a bull. A para is a cow. And when you're referring to either gender, you call it a shor. Right, so it's not an ox, really. Okay. But be it as it may, the Torah asers the chelev of a shor, of a kesef, a sheep, or an ez, or a goat. So zak taisres, the reason, kind of like your story, the reason why the chelev of a fetus is mutter is not because it's niter with the shechita of the mother, but because since a fetus is not a separate entity yet, it doesn't have a status of a shor chesev ez. And Mimela Taisves says the chelev of a fetus is mutter not only when you shechted the mother, but even if you reached into the mother and you cut off a piece of chelev from the fetus without shechting the mother, it would not be asur al chelev. Now you might say, okay, maybe it's not asur al chelev, but let it be aver min achai. He says, no, it's not aver min achai either, because to be an aver, you have to cut off an aver, a whole limb. That refers to basar, gidin, and atzamos. Okay. But putting it, let's focus on chelev. So not like this. So if you understand that the yesod of the heter chelev of a fetus is because a fetus doesn't have the status of shor chesev va'ez, then the Rambam's analysis is actually very, very beautiful. Because here's the way the Rambam learns. The Rambam learns the drasha that shechita matters theoretically never applies to chelev. Because if the lamdus of shechita simply means the shechita on the mother is as if I shechted the vlad, how does that matter chelev? Even the chelev of the mother is not much. In other words, you can't use a svara that the shechita of the mother matters the vlad as a heter of chelev, because on the mother gufa it's not a heter of chelev. In other words, the Rambam basically says shechita matirs a vlad only for those things that would matir the mother. Things that shechita doesn't matir on the mother, shechita doesn't matir on the vlad. But chelev will be mutter on a vlad because it's not chelev shor chesev eis. Memela, this is the chilek between a ben ches and a ben tes. A ben ches, the heter of chelev, is not because, remember I asked the kasha, mimanavshach, if shechita maters the chelev of a ben ches, why shouldn't shechita mater the chelev of a ben tes? The answer is, the Rambam's understanding is, shechita never maters the chelev of a ben ches. The reason why you can eat the chelev of a ben ches is not because you shechted the mother. Even if you wouldn't shech the mother, the chelev of the ben ches is permitted, because a ben ches that is not viable outside of the womb does not have the status of a shor chesev v'eitz. So what's the problem with a ben tes? A ben tes has the status of a shor chesev v'eitz. There is an Isra Chalev. Shechita will matcher. In other words, the Rambam learns this way. The Rambam learns, Legabe the Gezeres HaKosef, that Shechita matirs a Vlad, there's no difference between a Ben Ches and a Ben Tes. Shechita always matirs the Vlad. Shechita never matirs Chalev. In other words, the Rambam's svara is that Shechita cannot matcher Chalev. Shechita doesn't matcher the Chalev of the mother, so how could Shechita matcher the Chalev of the Vlad? So Mimela, the Rambam holds, Shechita matirs basar, Shechita does not matir chelev. Why does the Rambam therefore say, when I shecht a ben ches, I'm sorry, when I shecht the mother, and I find a ben ches, I can eat the chelev? It's not because of Shechita. It's because the Yisr Chelev is not Chal on a fetus that is not complete and in a state of viability, because it doesn't have the din of a Chelev Shor Chazavies. So in a way, the Rambam is actually very, very, very logical, because the Rambam is not Mechalek in the Koach of Shechita between a Ben Tes and a Ben Ches. In other words, Shechita never matters. Rather, the Rambam simply says the Isser Chelev is not Chal on an animal until the animal reaches the state where it could exist outside of the womb, because that is when it is called a Shor Chesed for Eis. Now, based on that,
what is the animal if it's a Ben Fest?
Huh?
What species of animal is it?
No. Well, the animal is a fetus of a cow. But it's not called a cow because it's not capable of surviving independently. It is a cow. I mean, genetically, of course, it's a cow. But it doesn't have... But the definition of something being called a shor or a chesav or an eis is only when it's capable of autonomous survival outside of the womb. And that's why the Minchas Chinuch says that when, even though the Rambam talks about shechting and you find a ben ches, you can eat the chelev. But he holds that it's lav dafka shechting. It would even be if you're tolish, etc. Okay? So that makes perfect sense, actually. Now, based on that, let's now ask the question, what would be the status of the gid hanasha? Now, for shteitzach, if I shecht and the fetus is a bentes, just like the chaylev is usher, the gid is usher, that's obvious. But here is where we have an interesting point. Based on this explanation, that shechita never matters that which is usur, but the hedger of chelev of a ben ches is because it's not yet a shor chesav ha'ez, then that might only be a svara by chelev, where the Torah uses the phrase, the chelev of shor chesav ha'ez. By gid hanasha, the Torah just says, don't eat the gid hanasha. It doesn't say the gid hanasha of a behema, of a shor chesav ha'ez. So it turns out that the Rambam's heter, that if I shecht a ben ches, I'm sorry, I keep saying, if I shecht the mother that is carrying a ben ches, I'm mutter to eat the chelev, would only be true for chelev, it wouldn't be true for git. Mashenkin, if I learned the shechita matter, then you'd have a problem. But if the shechita is not mattering, it's only a question, it's not a shor chesed. So it turns out, therefore, that the bottom line, according to the Rambam, now we're going to see, there are other Rishonim here in a second, that according to the Rambam, it turns out this way. If I shecht a mother, and there's a vlad inside, so no matter what, whether it's a ben ches or a ben tes, I could vada eat the meat. That's very, very pushy, right? The shechita of the mother helps with the vlad. Now, can I eat the chelev? So it depends. If the animal is a ben tes, I cannot eat the chelev. If the animal is a ben ches, I could eat the chelev. But according to the Minchas Chinuch's explanation, it's not because the shechita matters the chelev, but because until the animal is viable and capable of surviving outside of the mother, it doesn't have the status of a shor chesev for eis. However, vis-a-vis the gid hanasha, where the Torah doesn't explicitly say it has to be the gid of a shor chesev for eis, the gid would be usher as soon as it exists, unless we would say your svar. You said svar last week that the gid hanasha of the fetus is not located. That's a svar. He doesn't go with that svar. But, okay, which means the Rambam's chiluk between a ben ches and a ben tes is only nogeya chelev. It's not nogeya git. Right? That makes perfect sense. And that's very meduyik in the Rambam, because the Rambam has a funny lashon, although hopefully we would have hoped he would have been more explicit. When he talks about a ben tes, chelev aser, he says chelev v'gidai aser. When he talks about a ben ches mutter, he says chelev mutter. He doesn't say gid mutter. Of course, I would have hoped he would have said gid aser, but he doesn't. But the point is, there's a shinoi halashon on a ben ches. He mentions the chelev and the gid is aser. On a ben ches, he mentions the chelev is mutter and doesn't say the gid is mutter. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to learn that quite logically the gid would be usher. Yeah.
He doesn't say that because we're talking, so by the test he was referring to the shechita.
Yeah.
And by ches he was referring to the
to being tayish.
It's not,
so there's
right. Different
halachas. No, I understand, but they're right next to each other. So I mean, he should have. I mean, in other words, he leaves out gid. That's a little peculiar. In other words, by a ben tes, he says chalbo v'gida yaser. Or maybe that's the mashmas. And then he says by a ben ches chalbo v'gida. I guess it's not such a far fetched deal to say chalbo v'gida. Not gid. In other words, not gid is not going to be mutter. Yeah.
You said that the Torah never specified gid anasha to what
specifically that you need a full blown animal.
We said last week that it refers only to specifically the kosher animal.
No, that's true. That's true. But that's because of this. Because that's not because. In other words, that's a drasha that says since it says don't eat gid hanasha, so we have a drasha that the rest of the meat you could eat. But it doesn't use the lashon gid hanasha of a shor chesef v'ez. Okay. Now this is the Rambam Shita, because I want to be sure everyone understands the Rambam Shita and the lumdus of the Rambam, which actually is a fairly logical Shita. Now the Midchas Chinuch brings the Ramban. Now the Ramban is actually a very radical Shita. The Ramban is a radical Shita. The Ramban learns, and we have to understand what the Lamda says, and maybe your Svar comes back in here. The Shita of Ramban is that the Gezeiras HaKasev, you don't need Taisus Svar. Forget about Taisus Svar of Chaylev Shor. The Ramban says the Gezeiras HaKasev, that whatever is inside the Behema is Nitra B'Shita, applies directly to Chaylev and Gid, even by a Ben Tes. Which means, according to the Ramban, there is both a Chumra and a Kula vis-a-vis the Rambam. Now again, the Kula is the following. According to the Rambam Shita, if I shecht and I find a Ben Tes, the meat is Mutter, and the Chalev and the Gid is Usher. That's the Rambam Shita. Ramban says, amazingly enough, that whenever the meat of the fetus is mutter, the chalev and the gid of the fetus are mutter as well. So help the Ramban, even by a ben tes, the chalev and the gid is mutter. Now, that's kind of hard to understand, because even if you say the shechita of the vlad, of the mother, is like I shechted the vlad. If I would shech the vlad directly, I couldn't eat the chaylev with the gid. But be it as it may, the Ramban learns that's the gezeira sakasav called the behemoth chaylev. So that's the kula. That's how the Ramban is much more makel than the Ramban. And kal v'chomer, obviously, if it's a ben ches and you shechted it. That's for sure. But where the Ramban would be stricter than the Ramban is that if you had a ben ches, but you didn't shech the mother, instead you wanted to be tailish directly, that new svara, that it's not a since it's not a shor ches of v'yez, there's no issur of chaylev, that the Ramban doesn't hold of. So therefore, the Ramban holds when you shech the mother, everything is mutter, and when you don't shech the mother, everything is usher. Okay, that's how the Ramban would learn, as opposed to the Rambam that has a two-tiered definition in which shechita will matter the basar and not the chaylev and the gid, but if it's not a ben tes, we have a heter of the chaylev and not a heter of the gid. The Ramban says, whenever you shech the mother, chel by the gid and mutter, even by a ben tes. Now, obviously, the Ramban is not learning that the heter of ben pakua is simply the shechita of the mother is ki'ilu you shechted the vlad. That's not going to help you at all. If I shechted the vlad directly, I wouldn't be allowed to eat chaylev and gid. There might be a third nafkamina too, although I didn't find this. I may have misspoke last week, and that is, it may be that according to the Ramban svara, perhaps even dam would be mutter. Meaning, like the Rambam, there is no lumdash you could eat the blood, because mimanifshach, blood is usher all the time, and shechita doesn't match your blood. Masha'en kain, if I learn like the Ramban, that for some reason the shechita of the mother matures every part of the fetus, even if it's a ben tes, then like the Ramban, there might even be a svara to match your blood. Though now that I'm remembering,
but
the Rambam it wouldn't be shaykh to matru blood.
Even if you go this far, that's all telling where it is, and therefore the gate's not the same place. There was blood also everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. According to the go with that swara, yeah, yeah. But if you go with the swara that anything in the behemah is nitar,
wouldn't fine. So that behemah is not part of the animal, but it's still part of the. You say when they say the blood is part
of the. Well, if they're depending on the Rambam, yeah. Now the thing is, although I do remember, I don't remember who says it. I don't think the Rabban says it. Somebody did say a svara. One of the Rishonim says a svara that since the heter of eating the animal is kol sheba behema teichelu, so since dam is liquid and not solid, so it's not nichlal in the heter. Yeah, but that in a way makes no sense because the whole iser of the Torah of dam. The Torah doesn't say lo tishtu dam. The Torah says lo seichlu dam. So to say that dam is not nichlal in achila is very, very schwer. All the lavin of dam are belushin. But I think somebody does say that. Kol behemot techelu can't matir dam because it's not called.
A lot of the Isurim of dam are going to come even certain Isurim of dam are going to come from the body. The blood is moving around. Whether it's in the fetus or the mother, it's going to be the same bit of dam.
I understand. But the Ramban is learning any animal within an animal, the whole animal is mutter. I mean, I'm saying if you say this one that you said, then you'd be mechalik. But the Ramban doesn't explicitly say this. So the Ramban says whatever in the animal is mutter. Now that's the Shita of the Ramban. Okay, so I know it's a little complicated if we didn't do the Gemaras inside, but so we have the Shitas HaRambam, and we have the Shitas HaRamban, okay? And now we have a third, one more Shita, and that's the Rashba. The Rashba says, Chelev is Mutcher, like the Ramban says. This is a Bentes. Chelev is mutter, but the gid is usher, like the Rambam. Okay, so Nochama, the Rambam shita is for a bentes, chelev and gid usher. The Ramban shita is chelev and gid mutter. The Rashba's shita is chelev mutter, gid usher. Now, Rav Yonos Neipshitz, the crazy Uplesi, is Masbir the Rashba with the following argument. What is the heter that Shechita, like Ramban, why does the Ramban say Shechita's Matir Shchelev? Because that's the Gezeira Sakasav, everything in the animal, right? The animal within the animal is Mutcher. Taychelu. Eats. Now we paskin like the Mandi Amar going back, Ein begidin benoy Saint Tam. That means gidin, sinus, don't really have any taste. And it's not really called achila, except gid. I'm not sure the Torah says, even though it's a piece of wood, you're not allowed to eat it. But it's actually not eating. Therefore, when the Torah matirs what's in the animal, the Torah is maturing only those things that are called eating. So chelev is called eating, gid hanasha is not called eating, which means conceptually, Rashba and Ramban are the same shita. Conceptually, Rashba and Ramban are both saying shechita matirs the edible portions of the animal within, but gid is not called an edible portion of the animal within. But they're both going shechita matirs, which would mean the following. According to this, the Rashba's leniency for chelev is only when you shech the mother. See, it's only the Rambam that will say, even when I take chelev out of the mother, I can eat it, if it's less than ben ches. The Rashba is going with shechita. Now, there's a very good reason why the Rambam couldn't possibly hold to this svara. In other words, again, the Rashba's lumdus, according to Rav Yonos Neipshitz, is that shechita matters the animal within the animal, and shechita matters even the prohibited parts of the animal within the animal, but only the parts that are edible, and ain't begidden b'nai same time, means it's not edible, and therefore it's going to be usher. Okay? But it's exactly like the Ramban, except the Ramban extended it to get as well. Now, the Ramban, Obviously, it doesn't go with that lumdus, right? In fact, the Rambam's lumdus is that shechita matir is nothing that's prohibited. And if it's a ben ches, you have a heter of chaylev because it's not chaylev shor ches of yais. But I just want to point out, based on something we learned last week, it would have been impossible for the Rambam to follow the Rashba's svar at all. If you remember, the Minchas Chinuch last week, we focused on this problem. We focused on a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam paskins that gid hanasha does not apply to the gid of a behema tamea. So if you take the gid of a chazer, whatever it is, there's no issur of gid hanasha. That's for sure. What about if I eat the gid hanasha of a chazer, do I get malchus for eating chazer? Not gid hanasha, chazer. So on that, the Rambam said, based on the Gemara, since gidin don't have any taste of meat, so you're not chayev for that either. Meaning, not only is there no issur of gid hanasha, but there's no issur of tameya, because it's not basar, it's like a piece of wood. Now, the Rambam then said, what if I have a kosher animal? Remember, this was a kasha. I have a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted. It's a nevela. Now, if it's a nevela, the Rambam says gid hanasha does apply because it's a kosher animal. So the Rambam says, if I eat the gid hanasha shel nevela, I get two malchus. I get malchus for eating gid hanasha, and I get malchus for eating nevela. So the kasha is, malchus for gid hanasha, of course you're going to get, because even if it's a piece of wood, if the Torah says don't eat gid hanasha, the Torah says don't chew a piece of wood. But how can I get malchus for nevela? Right? If it's not called basar, the same way I don't get malchus for tameya, how can I get malchus for nevela? Right? That was the kasha in the Rambam. So if you remember, Rav Yonah Leibschitz himself gave a teretz that even though it's true that a gid, any sinew, is not considered meat. It has no taste. It's hard and tough, and it's like chewing a piece of wood. But the Rambam says, once there's an Isser Gin Hanasha, and the Torah is machshivit for that limited purpose as an ochel, it'll be an ochel for all other purposes as well. So Bishlama by a Taneya, where there's no Isser Gin Hanasha, it's a piece of wood. But when there's an Isser of Gin Hanasha, you're even going to get malchus for nevela. Remember? Now, in other words, that's called achshavei. Achshavei meaning the Torah considers this a food for the purpose of gid hanasha. If it's considered a food for the purpose of gid hanasha, it'll be a food for any other aveira you're doing along with it. That's the Rambam Svara, right? That's the Rambam. And that's why the Rambam says you're chayev on nevela, even though ain be given b'nai same time. Now, flip over, and I just want to show you how the Svara of the Rashba is behechrich inconsistent with that lumdus, because the Rashba says that when I shecht the mother and there's a bentes, right, the chaylev is mutter because that's an edible portion of the animal. It's called achila. The gid remains usher because ain begidin benayzing dam. But if you're going to tell me that whenever there's an isser gid hanasha, the Torah regards it as edible, then that would lead you automatically to the Ramban's svara that not only would the chaylev be mutter, but the gid would be mutter as well. If you're the point I'm making is that you see from the Rashba that even when there's an Isser Gid Hanasha, we still regard the Gid as inedible. We don't say the Torah makes it an Eifel. So Memela, Lania Staiti, I have to check that. I didn't check all the side references. The Rashba would have to hold that if you eat the Gid Hanasha of Nevela, you don't get Malchus Mishim Nevela. Because you can't say the Svara, it's called an Eichel. The Rashba, in other words, it's the Rambam that says it's a Nevela, so Nevela, right? It's all about Talia. The question becomes basically, it's really, how do you understand the idea that even though Gidin have no taste, but the Torah is Mechayev you? Is it the Pshat, the Torah is Mechayev you even though it's not an Eichel? Or is the Torah telling me that you have to look at it like it's an Eichel?
If you look at it as not an Eichel, There is an usher, you could eat it. Otherwise, it's ridiculous to offer something you couldn't even technically eat.
That's correct.
So then, the Svara is saying, it's not it has no taste. Therefore, not considered like food, but you can still eat it. So, why?
Well, you can eat everything. You can eat wood too. I mean, right? That's what kids. There's a whole condition of childhood condition where people chew. What did I say? Not just childhood. Because some people like to eat chalk. It's a thing. I actually saw something about people were talking about their secret vices. What were they ashamed of? So somebody was saying, I just love to eat chalk. I go into a room and I eat chalk. All right. I mean, there are worse sins. Okay. Yeah. All right. But I'm just pointing out that it's actually quite l'shitasai why the Rambam could not subscribe to. So again, b'kitzur, I know that, again, it is a complicated sugya, but again, we have our three shitas. The Rambam says by a ben tes, chelev and gid is usher. The Ramban says by a ben tes, chelev and gid are mutter, if there's a shchita. And the Rashba says chelev is mutter, gid is usher. Now, if you're tailesh, meaning you didn't shech the mother, and it's a ben ches, so the Rambam matters chelev, not gid, and it appears that the other Rishayin would aser even chelev, because they're not going with the svara that the animal has to be mature, they're only going with shchita as a matzer. Okay? So that's the Rambam's one kula, that the Rambam holds that the iser chelev is not chal until it's an autonomous animal that is capable of living outside the womb. Okay. B'kitzur though, the Shulchan Aruch brings both days, with the Shulchan Aruch, as is usually the case, paskins like the Rambam. So again, so let's focus on the Rambam as our halacha l'maisa. By the way, you know why this is so. The Beis Yosef created a rule that essentially stacks the deck. I mean, he created a rule. The Beis Yosef says that he's going to be machriya halacha based on a majority of three paiskim, two out of three paiskim. And the three paiskim that he follows are the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. Problem is, based on that the Rambam follows the Rif really 95% of the time. So when you say you're going to follow the majority of two, you'll always follow the Rif and the Rambam. The Rush is always the odd man out, so to speak. So essentially, the Shulchan Aruch always follows the Rambam. One famous exception, there actually is one very, very famous exception, and that is in Hilchos Chanukah. It's very, very fascinating. It's not our Indian, but I'll mention it very, very quickly. And that is, there's a machlekes taisus in the Rambam, right? The Gemara says that you fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah. There are three ways of doing it. The basic way of doing it is to light one candle every night. The middle way, which is called Mahadrin, is you light one candle for every member of your family. The Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, is machlekes Rishamim Beis Hillel, but we follow Beis Hillel, that you light a new candle for every day. So the machlekes is, if you're doing the best, do you also do the middle? Meaning to say, do I light one menorah adding per day, or do I light for everybody in my household? So Tosfos says a svara that if you want to do the best, you don't do the middle, because if the whole purpose of the best is that you should clearly indicate to the passersby what day it is, if everybody is lighting, somebody walks by and sees 50 candles, they're not going to know what day it is. Memela, Taisva says, if you're doing Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, you Bedavka don't do Mahadrin. Right? You only light one. The Rambam actually says, the Balabayas should light for everybody. In other words, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin is Kolel Mahadrin. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like Taisva, that only the Balabayas lights only one menorah. And the Ramah seems to follow the Rambam, who says that everybody lights. And the Taz actually asks the Kasha, it's a real Pella. Very, very unusual Pella, that the Ramah paskins like the Rambam, and the Mechaber paskins like Tosfos and the Rush. And I mean, that actually a lot of good Terutzim for that, but I want to get into that. But that's the Taz notes that's a very unusual example of the Shulchan Aruch following Chita Sataisvas, and the Ramah following the Rambam and the like. Okay. But that's why the Ramah wrote his Hagos, right? Because basically, if the Mechaber is always going to follow the Rambam and the Rif, then the shitas of the Balei HaTosfos are not going to be represented as halacha l'maisa, and they became the minhagim of Ashkenazim. That is why the Ramah wrote his Hagos, to essentially bring in the shitas of the Rush and the Balei HaTosfos. I mean, that's exactly why the Ramah added it. By the way, just as again, apropos of nothing in particular, but it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch is a kitzer of the Beis Yosef, the maskanos of the Beis Yosef. And the Shulchan Aruch was written with the intention that you should learn the Shulchan Aruch, without mefarshim, obviously, in every month. So I always thought, I never made a cheshbon, I always thought, well, yeah, probably I could understand that. If you took out all the mefarshim from the Shulchan Aruch, you know, it wouldn't be that big. But I actually saw the luach the Beis Yosef prepared to finish the Shulchan Aruch every month. This is hard to believe. You'd have to do, like, 50 simanim of the Shulchan Aruch a day to finish it in a month. So he says, Yom Aleph, you know, Simon Aleph to Nun. So apparently, even without Mefarshim, this was an amazing thing. Like, to review Shulchan Aruch every month is, seems to be almost impossible, but nevertheless, that's what he has. Okay. So now that we have the three shitas, we'll go with the halacha. The halacha is the Rambam. So again, Nachamol, the Rambam's halacha is that if I shecht an animal, whether it's a ben ches, and I find a ben ches or a ben tes, the basar is mutter, but the chaylev of a ben ches is mutter, but a ben tes, the chaylev is usher. Okay? The chaylev of a ben tes is usher, and certainly the gid of a ben tes is going to be usher. Even a ben ches, the gid would be usher. So here, Rav Yonason Eipshitz says a very interesting halacha, and this gets into an intriguing aspect of lamdas, and that is, even the Rambam that says the Chelev is Usher and the Gid is Usher. Let's say the Gid is Usher. And the Rashba also says the Gid is Usher. The only part of the Gid that's Usher is the part of the Gid that was in existence before the mother was shechted. After I shecht the mother, and I have this little animal that keeps growing, right? So any part of the Gid that was added after, or chela for that matter, that was added after the animal died, for sure is not going to be usher, because it was never the chela or the gid of a live creature. For sure that's not the chela of a live animal. Now, granted, I can't eat any of it, because anything that I eat will have a taruvos of what was there before, but theoretically, if you could identify what was added later, anything that was nitaisif after it was halachically geshachted, meaning halachically it's a dead animal, it's like a dead animal that continues to grow things. Whatever grows on a dead animal is not going to be usher. Now, what's the nafkamina? But the mice, I can't eat anything, because anything I eat is going to have what was there before. So the nafkamina would be for malchus. Let's say I shechted the mother, and there's a bentes. So the chaylev and the gid are usher. And by a gid, even a ben ches, the gid would be usher. And then I keep this animal in my barn, and the animal is 4 months older. So it grew bigger. So some of that gid came later. Some of the chaylev came later. If I eat exactly a kezias, I couldn't get malchus for that. Because in my kezias, part of my kezias is post-mortem growth. Right? If I ate two kezaisim, then you could say, well, I ate a kezaias of Isser. But if I ate a kezaias mitzumtzum, it wouldn't be shayach to give me malchus for that, because whatever came after the animal died is not the chelev or the gid of an animal. An animal means a live animal. This came after the animal died. So here, though, Mishnah Chinuch discusses the following problem. So what's going to happen? Okay, so this is pasha. In other words, I'm not allowed to eat it because a lot of it is old growth. But if I ate a kezias betzumtzum, I couldn't get malchus because some of it is new growth. Now, what if you could be mishayer that a majority of the growth occurred after death? Would I say under those circumstances that the majority of heter would nullify the minority of Isser. We have a principle of Bittel. When you have Isser mixed with Hedger, right? Something forbidden that is mixed with something permitted. Right? So what's our general rule? If the Isser imparts a taste into the Hedger, right, so it's forbidden, that's why you have to have 60 times, based on the idea that if there's 60 times that ratio, it no longer imparts a taste. But if it's min b'mina, for example, if non-kosher beef falls into a soup of kosher beef, d'oraisa, it's actually batel, even without 60. A simple majority, because it's not imparting a distinct taste. Here you have git hanasha, it's min b'mina. In that git hanasha, part of it is pre-death git, and part of it is post-death git. At a point that the post-death git is numerically greater than the pre-death git, would I say in such a situation that the post-death git is mevatel, barov, the pre-death git, which would therefore allow me to eat the whole thing? Same thing with chayav, right? Because it's min b'minai. Now, this is actually not, this is not a michas chinuch, this is a particular question he raises, but the truth of the matter is, the Gemara itself discusses this in Maseches Nedarim, where it discusses if you had, for example, an onion of truma, and you planted the onion of truma, and the onion kept on having more and more layers, which were not truma, can the gidulim, can the growths that come out of something usher, ever constitute a rove that will be mevatel the issur itself? So here, the Minchas Chinuch brings a very, very interesting Mordechai. Right? The Mordechai is one of the great Rishonim. The Mordechai was in the time of the Rush. He was a Talmud, as was the Rush, of Rav Meir Mirotenberg, right? The Mordechai. And in fact, tragically, the Mordechai was killed, and all of his family was killed in the massacres during the Crusades. But the Mordechai deals with the following shaila. Listen to this shaila. The Mordechai deals with this shaila when a woman gets chalitza, not a woman gives chalitza, right? A woman is a yevama. So what's the halacha if the brother is not going to be miyabim her? So there's a ceremony called chalitza. And today we don't do Yibam, so actually Chalitza will have to be done. And she takes a shoe off the guy's foot, and she spits in front of him. In his face, doesn't mean in his face, it means in front of him. And she says, so shall be done to the man who does not want to perpetuate, who does not want to build his brother's house. And then she's Muteris, love all the shit. Now, I have to admit, it's always bothered me a little bit, because since the halacha is, the man is not allowed to do yibam, even if he wants to. Like, you know, why should you say, you know? I mean, it's matzah, she's like saying something to him, you don't want to do it. And he says, I want to do it. Halacha is not. Anyway, chalitza isn't a common ceremony for a lot of reasons. So I remember 2 years ago, not 2 years, before I made Aliyah, 4 years ago, a person came from Eretz Yisrael to Baltimore to do chalitza to his non-religious brother's wife. So everybody wanted to see a chalitza, because you know you never get to see a chalitza. A special boot, it's like a Viking boot. So this woman was totally overwhelmed. There were like hundreds and hundreds of people in the Glen Avenue Synagogue. And like she walked in, and you know, she had no idea what was going on, and the Rabbanim took her into a room to calm her down and everything else. But they made a real public spectacle of chalitza. But the chalitza, spitting is a very important part of chalitza. In fact, you know, she has to spit. It has to be right. So the Mordechai deals with this question, what if the woman has periodontal disease, so to speak, and when she spits, her saliva is mixed with blood? Yeah? So the Mordechai's taina is that saliva mixed with blood is still valid spit. And he says, this is true, even if the blood is a majority, even if most of the expectorates, so to speak, is blood, But it's still valid if there's some, for the, I mean, there'll always be some saliva. I mean, by definition, there'll be some saliva in the blood. I, Frechta Mordechai, why don't I say that a majority of the blood will be Mavatel, the minority of the saliva? So the Mordechai says a yesod in the laws of Bitul. And he says the only time a majority can be mevatel a minority is only if the majority had an autonomous status and then the minority fell into the majority. Meaning, you know, I had my pot of meat, kosher meat soup, and the tray fell into the meat soup. So I say the rove is mevatel the miyatz. But where the majority and the minority get created simultaneously. The majority didn't have a separate existence until the minority was already within it. For example, right, the blood was circulating in her veins, obviously, but as a pool of blood, the pool of blood never lived, so to speak, without the saliva in it. So in such a situation, the rive does not have the separate importance, the separate chashivas, to be mevatel lemiyot. In other words, the Mordechai says, a rive is mevatel lemiyot only if the rive had an existence independent of the miyot, which later joined it, but where it is techilas briyasai bitaruvos. Techilas briyasa. When the creation of the majority was simultaneous with the majority never had its separate autonomous existence. The rive does not have a kayach to be mevatel, and what that therefore means is each entity stands on its own. Meaning to say, instead of saying the blood is mevatel the saliva, there is blood and there is saliva. So good, she spit blood, that's true, but she also spit saliva. So therefore it's a good, you know, in other words, it's not intrinsically puzzled that there's also blood, unless there would be beetle of the saliva. Once there's no beetle, because it's techilas biyasai bitaruvos, so she spit, not blood, she spit blood and saliva. So off the saliva, it's going to be a valid chalitza.
It won't add to the saliva either. It won't help it. There's too little saliva.
Right. It doesn't help. So it's like two things. She did two things. One of those things will be good. So, Zabta Mishnah, you hear the Mordechai's swear.
Onion.
Huh?
Onion.
Oh, that's a good kash. Yeah. So the Mishnah Shechinah Tainus is like this. Mishnah Shechinah Tainus, yeah, you're 100% correct. The Mishnah Shechinah Tainus, that this case is a kal v'chomer to the Mordechai. Because if the Mordechai is saying a raif cannot be mevatel lemiyot when they both come in there together, because the raif never had a separate existence, kal v'chomer where the miyot had a separate existence, but the raif didn't. Here, you started off before the animal died with a miyot of gil hanasha, that's usher. Now the rive that's added never had an existence without that miyot there. So it's really a kal v'chomer. If the Mordechai says that when the rive and the miyot come into the world simultaneously, the rive cannot be mevatel the miyot, kal v'chomer when the miyot had separate existence, but the rove didn't, it wouldn't be able to be mevatel. So he says, based on the Mordechai, he wants to say it's a davar pashut that it wouldn't become batal, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Then he says he says it's going to be shver, the whole sugya about how could growths be mevatel would be a problem. He mentions the kashi, he doesn't answer it. He says, you know, it's a complicated sugya, but yeah, that would be over there. Okay, so this is just a famous Mordechai that there's no din of beetle when it's techilas bias briyasai bitaruvos, when the majority is created concurrently with what it's going to be mevatel, it is not able to have a chalais bitul. Yeah.
So,
Rabbi,
if
you
have a
does it have to be a majority originally before the minority is added, or can it be a little bit and then the minority is added and then it completes the majority? It completes the majority, meaning like let's say you added a little bit of a little bit of blood.
I understand. Meaning how much? Yeah, I understand. How much of the majority
originally?
Yeah, it seems to me the majority has to be you had to have the majority originally. Yeah. Now let me just mention another shaila, which is really it's peripheral. It's the guy here very indirectly. That is, we look at bito. We always look at bito as a majority of heter is mevatel a minority of iser. Now, the Einad Yamtif, one of the great great gedolim of the 19th century, one of the great Paiskin, has an interesting shiloh like this. Tzitzis, in order for tzitzis to be kosher, tzitzis have to be spun. The thread has to be spun l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Like that's why there's all shiloh with machine spun tzitzis. Same shiloh as machine matzah. That even if it's the ingredients are kosher, but a machine is not capable of doing something lishma, do you look at the guy who pushes the button as having a kavana? Right? So you have to say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. So the Yonig Yomtif raises the following shayla. Let's say I have a whole box of tzitzis that were spun lishma. They're totally kosher. And somebody made tzitzis, a goy made tzitzis, or a katan made tzitzis, right, which are pasul. And one pasul, these are strings, right? They're not even made into tzitzit, they're just strings, chutim. I have chutim that are pasul that fall into chutim that are kosher. Lishma. So can I say in such a case that since a majority of my strings are kosher litzitzis, so whatever part is not kosher is a minority. And in fact, here the Mordechai is not going to be a problem because my rov existed before the Tagrovis, right? So the Mordechai is not going to be relevant here. So can I say bitul barov? Can I say bitul barov to be machshir all of the chutim because the shalol lishma is batel in a majority of the lishma? You hear the shayla, that's the Einig Yamtif shayla. So the Einig Yamtif says a svara that betel does not help under these cases. Betel helps to remove a status, but betel does not help to confer a status. Meaning like this. Heter, food, when it comes to food, right? Heter is not a status. Heter is the absence of an iser. Heter is not a thing. Meaning to say, the Torah puts dinim on certain things, right? Prohibited and the like. And when there's no din on something, it's mutter. Right? So heter is not a chalos, it's not the creation of a status. It is simply the Torah didn't say anything about it. So betel can remove a status. If the Torah asserts something, nullification can remove a status. But when it comes to lishma, or kasher, right? Lishma is a status, meaning something is kasher for tzitzis only if it's lishma. If a chut that is not lishma falls into a taruvos, you can't say that through the process of nullification, it acquires the affirmative mila of being lishma. Bito can remove a din, but Bito cannot give it a status. And therefore the Einig Yamtif says, the chut, even if it's 1 out of 10,000, the chut is not nullified, and therefore you would not be allowed to take any of the strings for tzitzis, because maybe it's the chut that shalol lishma, and you can't use the principle of betel, because betel removes iser, but betel cannot confer an affirmative mila of lishma. Now, this is actually a trickier question than you think, because even though it's true there's no process of nullification, but let's imagine somebody was carrying the box and some strings fell out into the street. There's another principle. When something separates from a mixture, you assume it comes from the majority. That works. That works even in that case. It's just bitl. I can't look at the box and say and then take. But if it fell out accidentally and somebody found a string, he could go bust off. So you have to differentiate. The din of nullification through majority is a different rule than following the majority when it's separated. The Eilat Yamtiv Svara is only in the laws of bitl. It is not in the laws of halchin.
He's allowed to go after the rule, but is he still going to be yotzei his mitzvah?
Well, that's the old story. In other words, if the halacha is you're allowed to assume the din of reiv, so the Torah itself says that that's called the kiyam hamitzvah. That's the taina. But that you have to be mechalik, big builder versus holy. Okay, so Mishnah next week we'll go out to the
Pesach.
Would it be worth it that we get to purposely strings around?
The what?
The box, so leave strings around.
No, that you can't do because that's kavur. In other words,
so he can't do it, but the person who finds it can use it. So.
That's correct.
Is there a leaving them around? He should leave them around.
Can he do it lechatchila? That's a good question. Can he
and what's
throw
his,
it lechatchila so that somebody finds it?
Like, if it's not, would it be that he's going to get the iser of him saying brachal batal on his tzitzis, even though that guy's going to get a mitzvah for putting on the tzitzis?
That's very hard to say. If the guy gets a mitzvah for putting on tzitzis, it's hard to say that you were gerim brachal batal. If you were to put it on, you wouldn't be yitzay. The guy who finds it would be yitzay. Yeah. Am I allowed lechatchila? That I have to think about. Am I allowed lechatchila to leave it for
also,
people?
Also, like if there's a case like a Sefer Torah that one of the names was not Lishma,
yeah,
then the whole Sefer Torah is going to be puzzled.
Right.
But if somebody finds the Sefer Torah, can assume it's kosher.
Yeah. So that would be a similar question. Yeah.
I didn't understand. You have something hefted.
Yeah.
And they're the same. So what's the difference? Like a piece of meat, you have a big roll, and some treif calls them. You say it's bottle treif.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between the tzitzis?
No, the difference
is... He's a treif and he's a kosher.
No, I understand. The difference basically is that...
This was shechted properly, this was not shechted properly. So this was processed properly with the...
Right, you can look at it that way. And some people are chalik, but the difference basically is that heter is a neutral status. Lishma is, the Torah says, this is eligible for a mitzvah. In other words, it's
right.
Kosher the mitzvah is not the same thing as saying mutter biachila. Mutter is the removal of a status. But to make something eligible for a mitzvah means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying this has a holy status, that it's royal mitzvah. So there's a difference between saying that something is indifferent, something is like a zero. Mm-hmm. Bittul makes things zero.
Right.
But when you're making something kosher the mitzvah,
uh-huh,
you're conferring a status on it, and bittul cannot give it a status. Bittul can remove a prohibited status; it cannot elevate it to something. No, that's there. That's
what
that's
cautious. It can elevate the trade meat to kosher meat.
Well, that's yes, it status. Can, but that's not called status. In other words, that just means kosher meat just means it is something that the Torah didn't prohibit. So kosher meat is not a status; it is the absence of prohibition. That's how he's understanding it. I think the difference is whether it's an obligation, not an obligation. Meaning, if Bittul is just telling you you are permitted to do something, that's an absence of status. But when the Torah is saying you are doing a mitzvah with it, that is the conferral of a status. You say that would be different.
Rav Macher wouldn't down on the tzitzis that fell on the street.
Yep.
You say that they're probably kosher. The ones in the box are still the same.
No, that's correct. Yeah, 100% correct. Yeah, only the parish. Only that which is parish. That's what I was saying.
But the box is still the same.
No, the box is the same. Yeah, I was talking about what fell on the street.
That's in town. Suffered their eyes, if you put it on a bag and you have the tzitzis that are suffering, that's the reason it comes out?
Yeah. Once it's not bottle, it becomes suffik teraisa. In other words, anything that's not bottle, even if it's 1 in 10,000, each chud is a suffik.
And then you put it on a bag, and then you're
And then when you put it on a baggage, you can't say kol de parish, because then it's kavua. If your suffik was held in the box, it's kavua. It's only if I find it in the street, it's separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 in 10,000. Okay.